Henry, thank you very much. You know, it's great to see our young men doing this, and Henry Taylor does a good job, and we appreciate him so very, very much. And sometimes these young people put us to shame, and but they do a great job, and we appreciate it. We appreciate all of you that are here this morning, and as Ben and David mentioned a moment ago, today is Memorial Day. It is about remembering those who have gone before and those who have given their lives. And you know, memory is one of the great gifts of God that death cannot take away and it does not erase. Memory is a beautiful, beautiful thing that God allows us to capture those things that have happened in the past to make us better. And oh, how we remember so many who have gone before, whose lives were taken in war and battle, and while serving this great country, the United States of America. Today, we proudly wave the flag of this great country. It is a symbol of who we are. It is a symbol, actually, of our patriotism, but it is also a symbol of the fact that God has liberated us and has given us the opportunity to live in a free land. You know, every Sunday morning we always list the names of those with whom we are acquainted that are serving in the United States Army, Air Force, or Marines. And we appreciate those young men so much who have gone to fight for the great liberty in other countries that we have experienced here in America, and we are so thankful. Many of those who have gone before are lost, but not forgotten. For we will remember them in days to come. That's what Memorial Day is all about. It's not just about another holiday, and it's not about having a picnic. It's not about anything but freedom. And the freedom that was provided by those who blazed the trail and those who gave their lives. Sometimes people wonder, should we do that in a worship service? Should we sing these great hymns of patriotism? I would say absolutely yes. They are hymns. You know what? You can sing a hymn to God anytime, I think. And certainly these great hymns remind us of who we are. That we are, in fact, a nation under God. For David said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it was God's servant who said that if we humble ourselves in the sight of God and we repent and we seek the face of God, then God will hear our prayer. He will heal our land. Our land needs healing, all right, but we're trying our best to heal it and to make it better. And in the book of Romans chapter 13, if you're still in question about whether or not we honor this great country that provides for us the great freedoms that we have, the Bible says that we should give respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. You know, Jesus told Peter one time that he had responsibility to pay taxes. He held that coin in his hand, and he said, render unto Caesar that which is his, and unto God that which is his. And so today we come in honor of those who are worthy of honor and those who are worthy of respect as well. We cannot bring them back. But we can honor their lives by standing up for the great freedoms that they have fought for in this life. And they're not just another name on a wall. Many of you probably have been to Washington, D.C., and you've seen the wall. And a few years ago, Audrey and I had the opportunity to go there and to see that wall with the names of those who have been emblazoned on that wall and will serve forever as a tribute to the great land in which we live. Many have shed tears. Many have lamented the fact that they could not go and give a second life, perhaps, for their country. But the tears are many of those left behind to mourn the passing of their loved ones. And every year the president will go to the tomb of the unknown soldier and to lay a wreath in the honor of those who are worthy of our honor and respect. And Arlington National Cemetery is a reflection of so many who have gone before. We too had the opportunity to walk through that cemetery and to see the names of so many men who died for the great values that we have in this country. No wonder we should make America great and perhaps maybe make it great again as well. What's in your memory bank this morning? Let me ask you that question this morning. You know, all of us have that reservoir within our bodies that God has given unto us. And there have been times when God would challenge certain people to say, "Son, remember, remember." And there are times when memory should take over. We still believe here at the Crockett Road Church of Christ that we are a nation that is being held together by Christian values that have made us strong, and we are strong. Proverbs 13:13 says, "He who despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who respects the commandment will be rewarded." And this country through the years has been rewarded by our God who is in heaven. And there's a borne-out principle found in the book of Galatians chapter 6 that says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So today, yes, we do pay tribute and we show honor. We show honor, first of all, to our founding fathers of this nation. You know, those founding fathers were not old men, but they were younger men. They were young men in their 20s and 30s who desired a better way of life for themselves and says, "We can do it, we the people." And yes, they did. And today, we the people can look back upon their lives and pay tribute to what they have done for this great country. Factually speaking, on July the 4th of this year, we will remember that our nation is over 250 years old. What a great tribute to this great land. And I'm so excited. I'm already working on that sermon. I'm so excited about being here and being able to share with you what I consider to be most important about this nation. And David, thank you for leading those great songs and hymns this morning that remind us of who we are. But we're in a countdown right now unto America's 250th anniversary. What a day. "And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." God blessed the nation of Israel, but he blessed the nation of America. I don't know of a nation anywhere who exalts God in heaven like America exalts God. I'm not saying that everyone in this audience or everyone around our world today exalts God, or those of us who are in this great land we call the United States. But I know one thing for sure, that we are a people of God's own possession. And these men who blazed the trail sacrificed so much, and they died as young men, serving and honoring our great land. David again said, King David, in Psalms 9 and 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." That's why we remember, folks. If you're still wondering why we remember, why Memorial Day is important to us, did you realize that every Lord's Day we have a Memorial Day? Every Lord's Day, we come together to remember our Savior who died upon a cross, who is so worthy of respect and honor. and gave us the opportunity to exist. Can you imagine? No nation has existed for over 250 years, to my knowledge. But God has blessed us, and the faith, their faith, was founded upon the truth of the Bible. You know, when you go back and you read about the lives of these men, these were men that were godly men, the founding fathers of the United States of America. They were founding fathers, and they were praising God. They read the Word. They believed it. And I'm going to tell you, this nation, whether people will tell you this or not, this nation was founded upon Christian and Judeo values. And we are still a nation today who is trying to honor our God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 5 and 6, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was found, not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Boy, what a great testimony. Wouldn't that be a great epitaph to put on the tombstone of anybody? He blessed God. She blessed God. And in Psalm 66 and 7 of God, the scripture says, he ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations of our world. Is God watching what's going on in the Persian Gulf? Is God watching and observing what is going on in the Strait of Hormuz? Is God watching what goes on in Washington when someone tries to take the life of the president and does take the life of an innocent bystander that happened yesterday? Is God observing? Absolutely. And I can only tell you that there is a cause and there is a purpose for all things. I don't understand it. I can't get into the mind of God. God's mind is omniscient. Our mind is not. God's mind is omnipotent. It is omnipresent. And he is the one who lifts his eyes to the nations of the world. You know, I wonder in my own mind when I think back to these men who were our founding fathers, could they imagine today an America like we have in the United States? Could they envision what all is going on in our America? Things that are so good, and there are so many good things about this great land. But could they have envisioned the bad things happening when people run down our country? Kind of like Merle Haggard, when they're running down our country, oh, she's running down this side of me. America is a great country. And I've told people many times, if you don't like it, leave it. I'm so thankful for the great Constitution of the United States, even though there are those who would burn it and destroy it. I'm thankful for the Constitution, but I'm more thankful for this document. It is the Constitution that was given by Christ Jesus our Lord. How could we not be thankful? There are those who would burn the great symbol of our freedom, the flag of the United States of America. They have spit on it. They have tramped on it. They have desecrated it in every way. These are two of the honored symbols of our great country. Abraham Lincoln, by the way, who was a Christian, if you read any of the archives about Abraham Lincoln and how he was baptized, he said, we the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. We the people, we stand together to uphold our great symbol of freedom, America. And we are shaping the lives. Isn't it amazing for all of those people who would call America the great Satan, or the same people who are asking for America to come to their rescue when they're in trouble? The framers and the founding fathers, because they were godly men, lived and were protected by the hand of God to shape America and invent for us a nation that we could not even envision ourselves. No wonder this inscription here, "In God We Trust," is on the currency. You carry that around with you, believe it or not, in your pocket every day. Let it not just be a medium of exchange, but let it be a document that bears the truth that is in your heart. In God we trust. Isn't that what Solomon said in Proverbs 3 and verse 6? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Freedom is never more than one generation away, Ronald Reagan said. A generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. That's what God's asked us to do. And He has asked us to do the same thing with the Word of God. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. But bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. That is our responsibility. I remember those with great favor today who stand for freedom. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that we have people that are standing for freedom, even though there are those in the halls of Congress and the Senate and other places who do not exemplify God? But thank God for the men who will stand up. Thank God for our Supreme Court. And whether you wonder whether or not we should be praying for them, I will tell you most definitely we ought to. And we ought to remind our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones about this great God who has preserved America. Patrick Henry was right when he said the best way in the world for a nation to collapse is for good men to do nothing. The secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage. And may we stand up and be counted. Ephesians 5, verse 6 through 8, Paul writes, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But the founding fathers and those who have blazed the trail with their own lives have stood up, and they did dare to die. Many of those who defended our country gave their all for our freedom. And not only our freedom, but freedom around the world. It is a travesty that a lot of other nations of the world will not stand with America. When we have helped, when we have fought, when we have sent our young men into harm's way, we ought to be praying for our leaders, folks. Paul told Timothy to do that. For the rulers in high places, may prayers be offered in their behalf. Know our young men, how they left their families to grieve. Many, many who died in foreign fields How could we not remember? That's what Memorial Day is all about. A remembrance for those who have died. And death leaves a heartache no one can heal. And love leaves a memory that no one can steal. No one can take your memory away. You can give it away. You can choose not to remember. But God has given you the opportunity to put within your mind and your mental capabilities the opportunity to remember. And someone said, greater love hath none than one would lay down his life, as they quoted Jesus. May we remember those that are left behind to mourn the passing of those who have gone before. But thirdly, Memorial Day is important to me because it's a time for us to uphold the faith and to remember those who upheld the faith. Not only did they uphold the great freedom and the values and the mores of our society, but they upheld the faith. Someone said that God only had one son and he made a preacher out of him. And that he did. He did. And God, through the Apostle Paul and his pen of inspiration, would write in 2 Timothy 4 to preach the word. Be instant or urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away from truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is what we're about, folks. Preaching the gospel. It's not just about befriending all the people in the community. It's upholding the word of Jehovah God, to whom we stand someday to give an account for what we have done with His word. And I thank God today for every preacher of the gospel who are preaching at pulpits around America and around our world, who are telling and declaring people the truth of Almighty God. And don't be afraid to stand up for the truth. Even if it means you will be standing alone. There was a time in Paul's life when he wrote to Timothy and he says, he went before the magistrates and the courts and he said, there was a time when no man stood with me. May it never be said that we would not stand up. For righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, Proverbs 14 and verse 34. And the memory of the righteous is a blessing. It is a blessing. You think about how blessed we are in this country because of the righteous. Christ said, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the dead, yes, the dead, deserve gratitude as well as the living. We have a lot of people that went off to war and came back. Thank God. But a lot that didn't. And the ones that didn't are worthy of respect and honor. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9. The Bible talks about the remembrance of those who are living. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head, that is the head of Jesus. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and then given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will may, or you want to do for them, but me you do not have always. For she hath done what she could. And she is come aforehand to anoint my body with bearing." What she did was offering her flowers while he lived. A lot of times people send flowers in honor of the deceased. They know nothing at all about it. But Christ knew about this woman, and he said, "She has done what she could." And he said, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial to her. It's the ministry of the alabaster box. And I say unto you that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken up as a tribute unto her. Isn't it better to give roses to the living instead of waiting for them to die? Many wait until it's too late for others to know how much you cared and how much you loved. "Send me all your roses," the poet said, "now, ere pink, ere white, or red. I'd rather have a blossom now than a truckload when I am dead." What prompted Mary, this woman, to put this alabaster box of ointment on his feet? It was a manifestation of her great love for our Lord and our Master. That's what it was. Her love for Jesus and the forgiveness that he offered her, as he has offered unto you and he has offered unto me. And here at Crockett Road Church of Christ, we have a Memorial Day, as I said, every Sunday. And like the first church, we gather the first day of the week to be reminded of the dead. That's Jesus, who was past tense, but who is now among the living. But the Bible says that he lives to make intercession for us. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's not just taking a piece of bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, but it is about remembrance, folks. And in Jeremiah 18 and verse 8, the prophet said, "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them." The key was turning away from our evil. The nation, in some way, ungodly people, lie to us. God never did. We go to God and we pray. And for people who take vengeance in their own name is wrong. Jesus told them in the Garden of Gethsemane to put up your sword. God does not draft those into his service. Christians, you and me, well, we're all in a volunteer army. And he invites us to enlist. That's why we offer the invitation of Christ every time. Because Christ is inviting you to surrender your will and make it his. By believing and obeying his gospel and being baptized for the remission of our sins. And may we appreciate this great country provided by our loving God. And surely we would want to show our respect by humbling ourselves unto God. And the Bible in James 4 and 7 says, "Therefore submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This morning we're going to sing a great invitation song, "Just As I Am." And that's what Christ says to you, "Come as you are." If you want to be a Christian, come as you are, to give your life to Christ, repenting of sin and turning to Him. And if you're a Christian and you know that your life has not been what it ought to be, may God help you right now, this moment, just as you are, to come to Him while we stand and while we sing.